Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our teenagers are going to be traveling in March, and I hope you'll pray for them. And it's going to be exciting to minister. I tell you this, I'm encouraged with a group of young people that love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. I mean, really, it's in the day and age in which we live, boy, oh boy, I'm just thankful for the young people we have here, thankful for what God is doing here in our midst. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, when Brother Flanders told me he wasn't going to be able to make it, immediately the Lord put this passage of Scripture on my heart, Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, how many of you are instruction manual people? You say, I get something, I buy it, and I open up, and I read all the instructions first before I try to put it together. Very few of us, huh? I found this thing on clearance the other month, about a month or so ago. It's a little kind of like a TV-type stand, you know, and has a little fireplace. I mean, it was a deal of a century. If you want to find a deal on something like that, you got to look around in like January-ish. I mean, it was a deal and a half. Matter of fact, if I told you what I paid for it, you'd try to come steal it from me. But in any event, I bought this thing, and it came in this box. And I opened up the box, and there was a million pieces. And there was a manual, yay thick. And on the back of the manual was a place where you could download an app, and the app would take you through how to put it together. I'll tell you, it was so clear that I paid David to put it together for me. It was just overwhelming. Sometimes we try to make life work without reading the manual, without following the instructions. I read about the Federal Aviation Administration that has a unique way of testing the strength of airplane windshields. Engineers created a gun that launches a dead chicken into the windshield at the approximate speed that the airplane would be flying. The theory is if the window doesn't crack or break, it could survive the impact of a bird in flight. British aerospace engineers heard about this unique device and wanted to use it to run the same sort of tests on a high-speed locomotive they were developing. So they borrowed the FAA's chicken launcher, skimmed the instructions, loaded it, and fired. To their surprise, the ballistic chicken immediately shattered the windshield and went through the engineer's chair and smashed the instrument panel. The British engineers were stunned and immediately contacted the FAA. After reviewing the procedures of the British engineers to determine if the test was done properly, the FAA had only one recommendation, quote, thaw the chicken. A lot of damage can be done by not following the instructions. In Ephesians chapter number 5, we are given instructions concerning the family and how the family is supposed to work. Now, let me ask you this question right now as you think concerning your family. What does it take to have a good family? Or let me say it this way, how can you better your family? A lot of times people would think of it this way, and hopefully you're not thinking this. They think, if just my wife would get it together, then our family would be what it needs to be. If my husband would do what he's supposed to do, it's the kids. If the kids would just do what they're supposed to do, we'd have a happy family. Of course, what do the kids say? My parents, provoke not your children to wrath, you know. And then everybody together, we see it's the dog. It's the dog's fault. We should have never got a dog. This dog is destroying our family. This morning, I want you to think in terms of just you as an individual. I want you to pretend that you're the only one here. I want us to think, as we look at the Word of God, I want us to think concerning our responsibility. I want to give you four ways that you can help your family. You know, you're only responsible for you. I mean, you try to lead, you try to be, you try to have the home, but you can't control other people, but you can control you. And so I want us to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, beginning in Ephesians 5, and read. We'll start at verse number 18, and I want to give you four ways to help your family. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's bow and ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we love you. We recognize this is your word. We recognize our need for the Spirit of God to teach us and to change us. And Lord, I yield myself to you. I pray you'd have me to say only what you would have. Lord, I cast my dependence upon you. I ask, Lord, that you would glorify yourself. And Lord, as individuals, would we hear the word of God and would we respond as you would have? And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Four ways to help your family. Number one, be fearing. Be fearing. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 21. And again, all of this, all of the verses that we read, go into the section about the home. Chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God is the one that created us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jeremiah 1, before I knew thee, before I formed thee, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. Psalm 139, the Bible says God formed us. God created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one that created us. God is the one that created this planet. God is the one that knows how things are supposed to operate. When we look at this passage of Scripture, what was it that the Apostle Paul uses to motivate the church, the people at the church at Ephesus? Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Look at verse number 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have lost in our society the fear of God. People don't fear God. When we look at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is motivating the believers here at the church of Ephesus. They're motivating them to serve God, motivating them to fear God. And I'm convinced that if we lived in the fear of God, it would help us in our homes. People want to do what they want to do. People want to respond how they want to respond. The fear of God, Solomon said this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, is to do what? To fear God and to keep his commandments. Have you ever noticed that young children seem to behave better when their parents are around? They're down in the basement and they're playing and the parents are there and they're playing with their toys and then the parents leave because they get a phone call or need a cup of coffee or just need a moment of peace. And the kids are left downstairs by themselves, and as soon as they're left downstairs by themselves, World War IV takes place, right? What happens? They start fighting over this and fighting over that, and then when the parents come down and say what happened, what is kid, the boy, he says it's her fault. And she says it's his fault. And the other one says, and everyone blames one another. And the reason why they have a tendency to behave better when their parents are around is because there ought to be a healthy fear of mom and dad. No kid's going to come up and hit his other sibling in the face or whatever in front of their parents, unless their parents don't discipline them at all. But their parents are going to deal with the action. How would our behavior change if we lived every day in the fear of God? If we lived every day knowing that God sees what we do, that God hears what we do, that God understands all about us. If men lived in the fear of God, that temptation, the tendency to look at a computer and look at stuff on the computer that they shouldn't see, wouldn't be there as much. Why? A man's not going to sit in front of a computer and look at immodesty in front of his wife because there's a fear. But if that man feared God and recognized that God sees and knows everything, it ought to change his behavior. You see, a wife that lives in the fear of God wouldn't have an attitude, if you would, toward her husband sometimes when he's not around. Sometimes a husband will say, this is what I think we ought to do, and he leaves. And the wife will say to the kids, don't worry about that, we're going to do this. If I have a right relationship this way, if I live in the fear of God, it's going to change how I operate in my home. How about young people, children that live in the fear of God? Oh, children often will be disrespectful. Parents aren't around, and they'll say things in a negative way about their parents and demean them. They know the truth of the Word of God. I'm supposed to honor them, but they think, hey, I can say stuff when I'm around my friends that's dishonoring to my parents, and it's okay. It's not okay. Because the thing that you say dishonoring to your parents, God still sees. You see, the thing that you do, the thing that you watch young people, that you say, hey, my parents don't know anything about this, God still sees and God still knows. And I'm convinced that the way that we fix our families is that as individuals, we make a decision, I am going to live in the fear of God. I am going to live in light of the fact that God sees me, that God knows me, and someday I'll stand before Him and give account to Him for my life. All things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Someday we'll stand before God. The fear of God, verse 21, the fear of God is the key to submitting to one another. We need to live in light of the fact that God is always in the room. You know, it's exciting to say He never leaves us nor forsakes us, isn't it? We say, oh, I know that God is with me everywhere I go, and I'm going to face temptation, I'm going to face trials or whatever. Sometimes we forget that God is with me wherever I go when it comes to the sins that we find ourselves partaking of in the closed room where no one else is. God's still with me. You see, His presence with us is a source of comfort. It ought to be a source of conviction as well. You want to help your family? Live in the fear of God. Number two, I want you to see this as we go to the Word of God. I want you to look at verse number 18, and not only should we be fearing, we need to be filled. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, we've talked about this recently in our series in John when we looked at the abiding in Christ. But when you got saved, you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful that He moved in. He moves in and indwells each of us, and He rolls up His sleeves, and He begins to conform us into the image of His Son. But we find ourselves here being commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. The idea is to allow, the verb is passive, to allow the Spirit of God to be in control. It's interesting, the Bible uses this analogy here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever seen somebody that is drunk? Years ago, I was an operations manager of a golf company, and they were run by unsaved people, and it came time for Christmas and Christmas party, and I went into the boss, and I said, hey, I don't want to go to this party if there's going to be alcohol there. Now, I have to admit, I was a little naive. I grew up in a Christian home, and I didn't know all that much about it, and my boss said, oh, there's not going to be alcohol there. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. So we went, and so I went in there, and I'm sitting in this restaurant, and we had the restaurant to ourselves, and some people's glasses were a little bit of a different size than my glass. Well, I should have started asking questions and should have started thinking, what's going on? You know, I just had, you know, my iced tea glass. That guy's got a little one like this, and this guy had a little one like this. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Again, I was somewhat naive. There was a guy in our company that was a material handler, but he was an alcoholic. And so we got toward the dessert time of this meal that we're supposed to be celebrating. This guy that was kind of quiet and shy and kept to himself was now standing up on a platform singing. People were laughing, and I'm thinking, something's not right with this picture. What wasn't right with the picture was what the alcohol that he took of was now controlling him, and he was acting in a way that normally he wouldn't act. Now, I want you to hold that just for a minute. I want us to go back to our text. The text says this: we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. We are to allow the Spirit of God that lives in us to live the Christian life through us. I'm either going to be filled with myself and what I want. And by the way, that's often our challenge. Often the biggest challenge in every home is the challenge with self. It is what I want. I want my way. I want to do what I want to do. But the Word of God says here, before we even look at the roles, and we'll look at the roles in just a minute, the Word of God says being filled with the Spirit of God is absolutely key. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but what? Christ liveth in me. Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That idea of Christ living through me. Do you know the key, and we'll look at this in a minute as we get to the wife and the husband and the children, but the key to being what you're supposed to be in your home is for you to allow the Spirit of God that indwells you to live through you. It is absolutely key. You see, the issue is we say it's the other one. Oh, it's the spouse, it's the kids, it's the parents, it's the this. No, the idea needs to be, it's me, Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. I want to have the best home that I possibly can have, and I can't yield to the Spirit of God for somebody else, but I can yield to the Spirit of God for me. It's interesting, God gives us the key because some of the most difficult, challenging relationships are right in our home because they see us for who we really are. And sometimes a mom will say, you know what, God's given me these kids and I can't do this. There's three or four or five, or we have six. Whenever we had another one, it's me, another one? Another one? What's wrong with you guys? You know, we actually have a couple in heaven, so we probably have a few more than that. In any event, you see, wife, God's given me these kids, and I can't do this. And you know what? You're right. You can't in your flesh. But if we allow the Spirit of God to parent our children through us, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Why did God put this, be filled with the Spirit, before these relationships in the home? It's obvious that this is the key. You say, my husband's kind of tough to live with. I know all husbands are tough to live with. I get it. You know, we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We'll see that in a minute. But you see, you know what? My husband's just tough. He's just a tough person to live with. And sometimes it's difficult for me. And it is difficult for your flesh. But that's why God gave you His Spirit. And that's why God said this: don't be filled with your flesh. Allow the Spirit of God to fill you. And love and serve your husband as you allow the Spirit of God to do it through you. You say, as a husband, wow, that's a big, tall order. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. To love my wife as Christ loved the church. Whew, we'll get that in a minute. Man, that's like some serious love. And humanly, you say, I can't do that. And you can't humanly. But the Holy Spirit of God can. He can love your wife through you. You got children, and children say, man, my parents, they're human beings. And if you kids not have parents that are human? Yeah, we're all human. You see, sometimes my parents are in a bad mood. Uh-huh. Sometimes your parents are in a bad mood. Sometimes your parents have a lot going on that you don't understand. You see, boy, sometimes it's hard to live with my parents. Do you know what, young people? It doesn't say here that the only ones that can be filled with the Spirit of God are adults. Every believer has the Spirit of God indwelling him or her. And if you young people will allow the Spirit of God to live through you, I was telling the teenagers here on Wednesday night, I've had the opportunity to be part of what I might call revival in just a few instances. The revival that sticks out the most to me came as a result of young people being open and transparent and getting right with God. We had been to camp, and I knew some of the kids made decisions, and I'm like, we're going to have a testimony service, and we had a testimony service. Service started at 6, and midway through the testimony service, this kid, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that he was going to even do this. This kid pulled out some CDs, and he said, I've been listening to this, and this is trash, and he took a hammer right there on stage and started smattering CDs all over. And then he had another kid get up, and another kid get up, and then parents started getting right with the Lord. And I'll tell you, it was a two-hour service that was started because young people decided, I am going to do business with God. You see, the Spirit of God indwelling us is the key. Either you will be filled with the Spirit, or you will be filled with your own self. The biggest hindrance to harmony in the home is really this matter of self-centeredness. Number one, be fearing. Number two, be filled. Number three, be following. We find ourselves now in chapter 5 and verse number 22. Now, I'm convinced that in a crowd like this, y'all could do just as good, even a better job, describing the roles that we find here. Now, we're going to talk about it for a few minutes, all right? We're going to remind ourselves concerning the roles of husband and wife and parents and children. But I'm convinced that often our problem is not what we know we're supposed to do. It's doing what we know, not knowing what we know, but doing what we know. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this. And that's why we took time to look at this matter of living in the fear of God. That's why we took time to look at this matter of being filled with the Spirit of God, because both of those are key to us fulfilling what God has called us to do. And so we start here, because the Bible starts here with the wives. The Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Interesting, as unto the Lord. Now we see, as a matter of fact, let me read verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Let me go to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So what do we have here? We have the aspect of obeying. We have the aspect of reverence. We have the aspect of submission and reverence. Submission has to do with placing yourself under the leadership of another. It doesn't say that the husband's any better than the wife or the wife any better than the husband, but God puts the husbands in charge, and he says to the wives, you are to submit to them as unto the Lord. So you can't say this, well, I don't submit to my husband because my husband doesn't deserve me to submit to him, but I'm right with God. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, your husband's not perfect, but your husband wears the uniform. You say, what do you mean? Well, imagine us leaving here this morning, and we go out, and you pull out, and you turn right, and as you leave the corner, sometimes the police like to stay here and monitor, and you see a police officer smoking. Whew, smoking big time. And as you pull out, he happens to be in our parking lot, and he's smoking big time, and you think, man, I can't believe that guy. He's smoking, he's going to get lung cancer. I'm against smoking, bless God. And you pull out of the drive, and you kind of recklessly kind of pull into somebody, almost cause an accident, and that same police officer decides, what's up with that church member? They just went to church. He shouldn't act like this and drive like this. And so he puts on his nice lights, and he pulls behind you. And you look in your rearview mirror, and you think, oh, that's that cop that was smoking. I don't respect people that smoke, so I ain't stopping. You know what? Next thing you know, you have all of Euclid Township, 5 or 6, 10 cops. And you get out of the car, and they put you back, and they're all mad now, right? And they say, why didn't you stop? That guy was smoking, and I'm against smoking. You say, well, that guy wears the uniform. He has the badge. And you know no husband in this room or anywhere is perfect. But God gave him the uniform. And God said, hey, there's a submission there. There's a responsibility. You say, hey, sometimes it can be challenging. And it can. And that's why we'll remind you to be what? To be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why we'll remind you to live in the fear of God. God sees and knows everything we go through. And so we have the role there of the wife as we look at it. And then look at what the Bible says concerning the husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You ever see junior high boys? Starts in junior high, ladies, just so you know. They get in front of the mirror, take their shirt off. Look at that. Look at that, Mom. You know what I'm saying? It's all skin and bones. I mean, just look at this. I'm telling you, I am just happening. You know, it starts in junior high, you know. And then when you get our age, you still look in the mirror and think, I ain't looking too bad. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't tell wives to love their husbands. So you get a wife in front of a mirror. Oh, I just don't look. Oh, this is. Oh, I'm looking fat and I'm looking, you know, it's not the same. You know, you can get the ugliest dude in front of a mirror and he's Johnny Atlas. I mean, he's looking, you know what I mean? He's got the big belly, but he's still, you know, I mean, it's how we're wired, I guess. I don't know. But the Bible says this, man. We're to love our wives as we love our own bodies. You know, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love. I mean, you think about the times that you were away from God and God still loved you. You think about the times that you were in a bad mood and you did things you shouldn't have done and God still loved you. You think about the times that you sat in a church pew and you said no to the Lord and God still loved you. His love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. By the way, can I put a little more responsibility on us as husbands? The Bible says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. There's an analogy here of a husband helping his wife spiritually to be ready to meet Jesus. I was at a church in Wisconsin, and the pastor of the church, his mother got cancer. And they told his mother that she only had a few years to live. And he tells a story, it's a remarkable story. He tells a story about how his father asked him, he was the oldest son, asked him to pray that his wife would live a certain amount of years. And he said, the reason why is I don't think she's ready yet to see Jesus. He said, what? I want God, and God did give him more years to help her to be what God wanted her to be, to teach her the truth, to love her, to be that example. You think about that aspect of responsibility. Boy, sometimes it's easy to get frustrated. Sometimes it's easy to say, you're acting like a woman. Well, I am a woman. Men and women are different. But you know what? God has given us specific roles to love our wives, to submit, to reverence husband. Look at the responsibility of children. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, that phrase, in the Lord. Don't tell me you don't have to listen to your parents and you're right with God. Don't tell me, hey, I know my parents don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and me and God, we're good. That's not what the Bible says. By the way, young people, can you look this way? I've said this many, many times. I want you to see it right in the Word of God. The Bible says it's right for children to obey and honor their parents. But listen to what the Word of God says concerning you. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, we've got a promise attached to this one, then it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You want to have a good quality life, it may be well with thee, you better obey and honor your parents. You better quit making excuses for your disobedience. The quality of your life, based on what the Word of God says, is contingent upon your obedience and your honoring of your parents. Not only that, the quantity. It says you may live long upon the earth. I'm convinced Oliver B. Green, you ever hear of Oliver B. Green? He had a radio station there in South Carolina, and he told people, he was a preacher, and he said, I'm not going to live long on the earth. I think he died in his early 50s. But he told him, he said, why? Because I didn't obey and honor my parents. I know my life is going to be cut short. God knows what he's doing. You see, yeah, but my parents, sometimes they can be tough. Sure, sometimes they can be tough, and sometimes you can be tough. And really, the battle is what? The battle is about self. But if you'll recognize that I have a responsibility in the Lord, if you'll recognize that, hey, I've got to live in the fear of God, and ultimately what I want is I want the blessing of God on my life. And you, young people, allow the Spirit of God to live in you, to live through you, to fill you. Hey, the Spirit of God will enable you. I thank God for my wife. My wife grew up in a home. It was challenging growing up. Father wasn't saved. Tell you, there was a day in her life where she said, I'm serving God. I'm going to live in the fear of God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And you know what? I think God blessed her for it. Here she is, a pastor's wife. I tell you, God knows what he's doing. God says, hey, this is a commandment with promise. And then, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Obviously, we need to be consistent. As parents, we need to be the example that God wants us to be as parents, mom, and dad. But we know this. We got to follow it. We need to follow the role for us. Don't become an expert on your wife's role. If you would just submit, then I'd love. Don't become an expert on your husband. If you would just love me as the church, then I'd submit. By the way, we're going to deal with that here in our fourth point, so let's just move to number four. Finally, fourth way, be fearing, be filled, be following. Number four is be faithful. Now, I want to do something here I don't normally do, but I want to be a little bit technical. In English, we have tenses in our verbs, all right? We have a present tense. I am preaching right now, all right? Present tense. You got that so far? All right. Last week, I preached, all right? Past tense. You with me? And then we have a future. Tonight, Pastor Drew will preach, all right? So we have tenses, and tenses are also included as we look at the Word of God. And I want you to see something. There is a present active verb that is used a lot here. And in many instances, an imperative or a command is used as well. But I want you to understand, a present active verb is a continual action verb. You see, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is this. You need to do what you're supposed to do regardless of what anyone else does. It doesn't stop. You see, a present active verb is a continual action. Now look at verse number 22 and let me highlight them for you. The word submit in verse 22, wives submit, is a present active, and in that case, it's a command, imperative. Verse 25, husbands love, that love is a imperative, present active. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives, there's your present active. Verse 28, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man nourisheth, the word nourish, hateth his own flesh, but nourish and cheereth sheth. Both of those are present active verbs. Look at verse number 33. Verse 33, the word reverences. See that she reverence her husband. And the word love there in verse 33 is the same. Look at verse 1 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey. That one is a command, a present active command. Verse 2, honor, same thing, present active command. Verse 4, fathers provoke not, present active command. Now, why do I take the time to throw these things out at us? Because here's what we see. What we see in homes is this. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. And that is what every one of these verbs flies against. Every one of them is a present active, which means what? It's a continual action that you are to keep doing, and you're not supposed to stop if your spouse stops. You're not supposed to stop if your children stop. You're not supposed to stop if your parents stop. You see, but so often we make it contingent on the other person. We make it contingent on them. By the way, you don't stand before them, you stand before God. And the ultimate goal, you get to heaven and say, well, Lord, you know, I should have loved my wife, but she was hard to love, and so it's her fault. No, it's not her fault. We got to get out of the blame-shifting game. Start it back with Adam and Eve. You know, blaming the spouse, blaming. We need to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What can I do in my home to make it what it ought to be? Well, no one else in this family's doing it, so I'm not doing it either. No. Based on what I just shared with you, don't do that. Be faithful. We know a husband is won by the faithfulness of a godly wife. We see that in the Word of God. I'm convinced parents can be changed by young people that'll do what's right. I'm convinced husbands can change if wives will do right, and wives can change if husbands will do right. But we get in this attitude that somehow we can give up, and there's no ground to give up. So number four, I don't know if I gave it to you or not, number four is to be faithful. To be faithful. I'm amazed at how many times people make decisions to quit, to give up, and they regret it. I've heard of two situations recently, not here, way outside of here, where a lady just went off on her husband and decided, I'm going to leave her husband, and then regretted it. And at that point, the husband said, I'm not going back here. If I'm done. And again, you can, every situation is different and unique. We've got to keep faithful. We got to faithfully keep doing what God has called us to do. Let me ask you a question. Do you live in the fear of God? Are you living in light of the fact that God sees everything I do? He knows everything about me. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you living asking God to control and fill you? Are you following what you know God wants you to do? Doing faithfully my role. And are you faithful? May God help us. Don't be thinking about your spouse. Don't be thinking about your kids. Don't be thinking about your parents. Be thinking about you. What can you do to have the home that God wants you to have? Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the privilege to look at your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us now to allow the Spirit of God to do his work. Lord, none of us is perfect. Lord, none of us has a perfect home or a perfect relationship or whatever. But Lord, we can have a better one. Lord, we can have the one that you want us to have if we'll follow your instructions. And so often, Lord, we don't follow instructions when it comes to putting things together often. Lord, our same attitude sometimes carries over in the most important thing, the relationships in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get back to doing what we're supposed to do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.